It is the 5th of July. You all know me, Carlson, better known as Sunshine, on your Wednesday edition of Time to Decide. I am super excited to be with you on this Wednesday evening. For those who are tuning in for the very first time, a special good evening to you. And as usual, at this time, as I normally say to all those tuning in from around Cape Town, again, a very special good evening to you. Those tuning in from around South Africa, extra special greetings to you. For those who are tuning in from around and beyond the borders of Africa, extra special greetings to you. You find us on 107.5 FM in the greater Cape Town area, as well as 96.7 FM in the Fisher Knowatic Valley. 1 minute after seven. Let's kick off with Michelle Williams with Say Yes. Stay tuned. I have an amazing guest in the studio tonight. You don't want to miss it. We're talking families. Don't go away. It is the 5th of July. Good evening, y'all. When last did you hear that one? I tell you, it's been a while. That was Michelle Williams with a song called Say Yes. When Jesus say yes, absolutely no one can say no. 5 minutes after 7 o'clock, it is your Wednesday edition of Time to Decide, and I'm super excited to be with you tonight. As I said, it is Wednesday the 5th of July, and I have a very special guest in the studio. And again, to all those who are tuning in for the very first time, special greetings to you. Also to we have, before I introduce our guest, we recently reconnected with our grade 12 class. I was in matric. We called it matric back then. Standard 10. Amal die mense wat nog in standard 10 was, kan julle hande net oplig? So grade 12, but standard 10 in 1989. Yes, that was when I matriculated. And so recently I think it was 34 years ago, we reconnected. And on the 16th of June, we had a reunion. When I left my home, I said to my husband and daughter, I said, I'm only going to be away for like 2 hours. I think I was away for 8 or 9 hours. Because it was just so awesome to see all my friends from yesteryear. And so we've been remaining in contact through WhatsApp. And this past Saturday, the girls met. And it was just so wonderful to reconnect after all these years and to see how God has been just so faithful in each of our lives. And so to all of you, if you are tuning in, a very special good evening to you. Our number in the studio is 061-798-1075. That number again, 061-798-1075. Kom ek sê dit in Afrikaans, 061-798-1075. So if you would like to participate in tonight's program, please send me a WhatsApp right here in the studio. I would love to hear from you. So again, to my matric class of 1989, it feels like forever ago. I'm sure some of you are saying, oh my gosh, I wasn't even born yet. It's been a while. So yeah, I believe it's 34 years ago that we were there. So to all of you tuning in tonight, extra special greetings to you. I'm seeing the WhatsApps coming in, so keep them coming. To Sean David, it's wonderful to have you back in Cape Town. Mark Simon, thank you for your message. Tasha, I see you. She says, let me see. Oh, man. She says, I'm super excited to be tuned in tonight. I haven't listened to you since I relocated to Durban in 2020. I'm expecting to be blessed with your show tonight. Natasha Palay, it is so wonderful to have you tune in tonight. Delisha Linda, thank you so much. Some of the regulars tonight, thank you for your messages. Allow me to introduce our guest to you tonight. Oh, I am really happy to have you, Pastor Nathan Asher. So, ATM's naam in fun. How are you?
Very well, Pastor Naomi. Thank you so much for having me here this evening. And also greeting to all the listeners far and wide.
Yes.
And greetings in the wonderful name of Jesus. It's good to be here.
Wonderful to have you here. I just love how we are connecting your church, our church.
Yes.
And how, because I just see great things happening in the near future. But it's wonderful to have you. So if you can just tell us a little bit. I know who you are, but there are some listeners who don't know. So if you can just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Will do. So once again, greetings in Jesus' name. My name's Nathan Asher. I'm all the way from the United States of Bonthierville.
Come on now.
Born and bred in Bonthierville, grew up on the streets right there. I'm what you many call a struggle baby. Amen. I was born in the heart of the struggle. My father was the late Anton Franz, who died in a 7-hour gun battle with the apartheid police in Athlone.
Wow.
And I lost my dad when I was 2. Was raised by my grandmother and my aunts and my uncle. And that's why I've, you know, felt the love of a family and was able to grow up as a young man. Went through school at Arcadia Primary. Was really challenged in the beginning already. Grew up in an English home, but when I went to school and enrolled me, they only had place in an Afrikaans class. So they placed me in Afrikaans class, and then I had a teacher by the name of Miss Leo, and she would teach me English and have me read English while being in an Afrikaans class.
Wow.
And then grade 3, they actually put me over into the English class.
Mm.
And that's where I basically grew up. From there, I attended Alexander Sinton to high school.
Mm-hmm.
And my first year of high school, something devastating happened. I got a call one afternoon to say I had to come home urgently. And being a young person in high school, you know, when you have to go home early, you're excited.
Mm-hmm.
I eventually went home, and as I came from the center in Bonthierville, everybody on the center, the guys broken there, for those that's from Bonthierville, Hopi, would ask me, did you hear about Kyle? And I said, I don't know Kyle. And I left, I went home. And there's a long lane from the center going to Jasmine Street.
Mm.
And when I got there and went around the corner into Juniper, I saw a whole group of people in front of a house.
Mm.
And when I got in, I discovered that my uncle committed suicide.
Oh, man.
He hanged himself the night before. And the only father figure I had at that time and person I looked up to, basically opted to take his own life. And from that point, my life just spiraled downwards. I was a very active young person within sports, played soccer, but eventually made the wrong decisions, got involved with the wrong crowd, and eventually I ended up becoming a drug addict for 5 years of my life. I dropped out of school, just roamed the streets around there. And eventually I came to a place of acknowledging that, you know, I needed help. I wasn't satisfied by living that way. I threw, like they call lollies, full of tuck against the wall, wanting to stop. But just finding myself 2-3 days after that smoking again. And I thank God for one of my aunts, if she's listening, Miranda. She helped take care of me. And then also one of my aunts, Arlene, as well. And she was the feisty one that eventually, because in the yard where we stayed, it was on a corner house.
Mm.
I lived in my mom's Wendy house, and she eventually moved out, and she relocated to Woodstock. And what happened there was that I turned that house into a pelapos. So everyone that wanted to smoke would come into the yard, and we would have a good time. But, you know, as they say, all good things come to an end.
Mm.
And that became the place where, you know, eventually did my wrong things and that type of thing. And then one morning, my aunt just came and she threw in all the windows.
Oh, my word. She just thought, today is the day. This is it.
Because no buchval, yo, nonsense. And she just threw in all the windows. And that was part of the building blocks that, I believe God allowed in order to get me to a place of really coming to a place of surrender.
And how old were you at this stage?
At that time, I think I was 16, 17.
And you've done drugs for about 5 years of your life already.
Yes.
Which means that you started at 12.
13, around about there. So I was deep in already at a very accelerated rate.
Sure.
Got involved and just spiraled downwards. So, that was part of my story. And, you know, just getting involved in the wrong things And I remember 5 years, exactly 5 years, after my uncle committed suicide. That was in August. I remember they came from a party from my mom's place. Mm. And then 5 years after that, I went with a friend and spent the night outside. And the morning I got back, I was actually slept over at my friend's house. And the morning, you know, obviously, like they call it in, you know, our vernacular, a kopskiet gaan kry. And I went to go buy beers at the Shabin. And on my way there, a friend of my grandmother got me on the way. And she asked me, "Didn't you hear about your grandma?" And I said, "No." She said, you have to go home now."
So you're on your way home from friend?
And on my way to the Shabin.
So you slept over at the friend's house,
yes.
Going to the Shabin.
Yes,
to get
beers.
Your...
Yes.
Kopskit.
Yes.
And then you're going to go home.
No, then I ran into my grandmother's friend.
Friend, yeah.
And she asked me if I heard about my grandma. I said no. She said, "Go home now." And then I went home. And when I got home, I discovered that my grandmother passed away the evening. And I, you know, it was mourning and cried right there. But straight after that, the only way I knew how to deal with the pain was to go and smoke again. And then that's what I turned to. But I now, looking back, I can say it was God's way of drawing me closer to a place of acknowledging that I needed help and I couldn't do it by myself. About a year and, say, 3 months, 2 months after that encounter, and that is when a door opened up for me at our Victory Outreach Men's Home. And I came to a place of saying, you know, I needed help. Because my mom, well, you know, my mom is one of those struggle ladies, amen. Very tough skin, but a soft heart.
Oh, yeah.
And she told me, you know, you can't be two grown-ups in this house.
Okay.
So if you want to be a grown-up, you know, there's the door. But if ever you need help, I'll be here. And that's what I did. You know, I came to a place I was tired of arguing about. Where's the milk? Where's the bread? Because that was the type of things that, you know, we would argue about with my aunt. Because, you know, once you're on drugs, you don't care. You just use everything that's in sight. And, you know, you leave the burden with somebody else. And that eventually became, you know, something that was not healthy for the family. And being tired of arguing so much and not having peace, I eventually, you know, God led me to this place of saying I needed help.
Yes.
My aunt called my mom, and to this day, we still don't know who told my mom about Victory Outreach.
She can't remember, she cannot recall.
No, we don't know who it was.
Was the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Jesus. And on the 24th of October, I can still remember, it was La Barangachi on that day.
Yeah, yes.
It was overcast, I was standing on the, we live in the flat. And the stairs on the outside, so I was standing on the balcony, you know, looking for a cigarette, and no one had a cigarette for me on that day. And while I was standing there, I got the call to say, yeah, we found a place.
Mm.
And after that call, there was a battle on the inside of me. Should I go? Shouldn't I go? Should I go? Shouldn't I go? What about the friends? What am I going to miss out on? But I believe now that I know it was the Holy Spirit that said, just go. I went around to the group of friends that I had at the time. I left my lighters, my lollies, my knife, whatever things I had. I left it there and I told them, guys, I'm going now. There's a space open for me and I'm going to go now. And I left, and it's the 24th of October this year. It would have been 17 years ago.
Wow.
By the grace of God.
Praise God. Now, that is so powerful, because you came to that place of self-realization.
Yes.
Do all people who are in that boat do... all of them get to that place? Or because I believe that all of the people who are doing drugs do think and wonder about their ways.
Yes.
But I also see the struggle.
Yeah.
Because not everyone has that ability to say, up till here and no more, I'm going to go for help. Because some of them just carry on and on and on. How do we help people? I've got a family member who is very dear to me. Very. We don't know where he lives at the moment. He left. And my heart aches. My heart cries for him. The night he left, it was one of those stormy, stormy nights. And at 2 in the morning, he left. And we didn't know where he was going. His mom cried. Till this day, she cries. And I said to him, we want to help. It was the night before we came to your church. I said, we want to help. How can I help? I didn't say I've got the... I asked him, how can we help? Because I wanted to force him to say, yes, Auntie Naomi, I need your help. But he just... he opted to leave. How do we help people? Or I don't even know what to ask. But not everyone gets to that place where they say, I need help. And what can we do to get them to that place?
Yeah, I think the first thing that I believe my family was doing is to pray. And really ask God to make those individuals that we love tired. Because I believe that was the prayer that arose from the hearts of my family. Like, Lord, make him tired of living this way. Because no matter how hard we try, we sometimes, you know, because not only was I on drugs, but my brother as well. And he's 9 years younger than me. And he eventually also fell into that lifestyle, went in and out of prison. And even while me, you know, living for God and being in the home, growing in the ministry, encountering that situation, you know, our response, my response always was like to argue with him and say like, yo, didn't you see my life? You know, but eventually my wife said this to me once, the last time we went to bail him out of prison. She told my mom and I, she said, stop arguing with him. Just love him. And to this day, 5 years later, he's still with us.
Praise God.
Not just saved, not just delivered of drugs, but living for God. And only God can change the heart of a person. And I believe the first thing we should do is really to pray and ask God to make those individuals tired of the way that they are living. Because he has, the Bible says that the hearts of kings are in his hands and he determines which way it flows. So only he can change the human heart. No man. You know, he sometimes uses situations to do it. But ultimately only he can change the human heart. And I believe when we start praying that and asking God to corner our loved ones in such a way where they can look nowhere else but to him, let that be our prayer, so that when they come to that place, that, you know, despite all the hurt, all the challenges, that our second response is what the Lord encourages us to do, and that is to love. You know, to look past their faults, to look past the past, and to see like this is an opportunity for us to love on them and to take their hand and journey with them. And I think that's what helped for me. You know, I had to firstly come to my senses myself, because I think the challenge with many individuals who have family that's on drugs is we try and make decisions for them. We try and force them into making a decision or giving them ultimatums. I do believe in tough love, because if I believe if it wasn't for my mom's tough love, I probably would still be out there. But because she was tough on me, it brought me to a place of thinking, you know.
What if the person, for example, and in our case, the person is very stubborn? Like, that person can look at you or can look away while you're talking. Now, I did the reverse. I was the understanding auntie. I was the, just the understanding, never raised my voice, always was calm, always just overlooked. I did it the other way around until... just such a lot of things happen, and you know, because there's an addiction that they need to feed. And yes. I'm saying this with the greatest of respect to my sister and my family, because this is something new for us as yes. a family. And I'm not embarrassed to talk about it no. because I still believe that God is going to save
yes.
his soul.
In Jesus'
and
name.
So I was the other way around. But what do you do in a case where this person can shut off, eh? They
yes.
can literally lock you out. You can stand there. And the last encounter that I had was in a very...
Yes.
I was very excited about
yes.
all the losses that we suffered. And
yes.
come on now, this is not how we were raised. How, yes. we want to help like that.
Yes.
And that drove, I feel, him away. I'm till this day, I'm just, you know, I wanted to be tough, but I think
yes.
in my toughness, I may have pushed him away. And
yes.
I just, every day I wake up like, God, please just protect him. Please just
yes.
bring him back home. And but so what do we do in a case like that? They lock you out, eh? They
yeah.
look at you or they don't even look at you.
I think that is just like a defense mechanism.
Mm.
But I think in the midst of all of that, like one thing that you, when you're alone and you're in a situation that you don't really want to be in, I think the Lord allows us to kind of think back on all the people that were good to us.
Mm.
And also what they communicated in their goodness. And I think Pastor Naomi mentioned something, and you know, it's not so much just to overlook, but you can also confront with love.
Yeah.
Is to, you know, identify it, but say, like, this is wrong.
Yes.
What you're doing
yeah.
is wrong,
yeah.
but we love you.
Right.
So
right.
sometimes we and in my experience is that people usually connect a happening with the person.
Mm.
And they keep it there.
Mm.
But we sometimes need to separate the two. Like, we love you as the person.
Yes.
We don't agree with what you're doing.
Correct.
Same like God. He loves us, but he doesn't like our sin.
Mm.
He loves us and we created us to be. But
right.
sometimes the things we do is not what the things that he doesn't agree with.
Mm.
So I believe like now learning and being able to walk with the Lord in such a short time, I've come to learn is like what we learn from the Father is how we're able to apply with those that are close to us as
mm.
well.
Mm.
So in light of that, I think that is one of the approaches. I'm not saying this is the only way,
mm.
But like a combination of things.
Correct.
You know, but firstly starting with prayer, because ultimately our Heavenly Father is the Father of all.
I absolutely agree with you there. We can pray that those drugs will become bitter.
Yes.
Jesus. Bitter in their mouths, that they will not have a desire for that. We can call that
yes.
which is not into existence
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And so we want to encourage people who are going through this. The very first person who WhatsApped us tonight, he's got, and my heart goes out to this man. He writes to me every week.
Yes.
And Mark, I'm not going to call your surname, but Mark's son.
Yes.
Watches our car on a Sunday morning in the center.
Yes.
And when Mark sent me a picture of his son of years ago and who the person is now, there is
yes.
such a big difference. Still,
yeah.
you can see the beauty of the person,
yes.
but it has been tarnished
yes.
with the effects that drugs have on a person.
Yes.
The effects that standing outside in winter, summer, autumn, and spring in the sun, watching people's calls. Can you imagine what that do to your skin?
Yes.
And my heart breaks when I see this
yes.
young man on a Sunday or
yes.
whenever we go to church and how they watch. And they are so respectful. You can
yes.
see this young man comes from a good home.
Yes.
And so this is a matter of serious prayer.
Yes.
It's a good place to start.
Yes, definitely. And that's what the power that we have, and I think that is what we need to realize as children of God,
mm.
is that we have a Father that wants to act on our behalf.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
But we need to pursue His heart. And even in that, you know, because sometimes the reason why many turn to drugs is because of a lot of, there's a lot of things. But one of the main underlying things is firstly sin, but also trauma.
Yeah.
And I think that is one of the reasons why God has given me a passion for just families, is in terms of, you know, from the trauma I've experienced.
Sure.
And how it led me to turn to certain things that eventually led to me, you
yes.
know, becoming an addict.
Yes.
But God opened up a door for me to now be adopted into a heavenly family.
Right.
And by being adopted into that heavenly family, I was now able to not only be healed and delivered, but also even confront some of the traumas that I've experienced mm-hmm. in my past. And sometimes I think, you know, in the light of many that struggling with drugs, some of the things that leads to that is the inability to deal with trauma.
Right.
The inability to confront and sit mm-hmm. down and talk about things.
Yes.
And I believe the reason why many people are still on drugs is because of breakdowns in families.
You can say that again. My husband preaches a sermon. I think he preached it at your church. Who dropped you?
Yes.
And referring to Mephi Busheth, who
yes.
was dropped by, he was a five-year-old.
Yes.
And as they were fleeing, the nurse that took care of him dropped him.
Yes.
And he became lame.
Yeah.
And that then had a direct effect on his future.
Yes.
He should have been next in line to become king, but
yes.
that was, you know, and so yeah. you are so right. Some of the people have been dropped.
Yeah.
And because of that, it hasn't been dealt with. I mean, I look at you, like you said,
yes.
you were 12 years old.
Yeah.
When your uncle
yes.
committed suicide. Well, first, 2 years old.
Yeah.
Your dad didn't mean to. He,
yeah.
mean, it was never in his plan to leave you. It happened that he was killed.
Yeah. Gave his life for a bigger cause, you know. So all of that.
All of that. And then your grandmother, you know, all yeah. of that. And so when we come back from this track of music that we're going to play now, we want to bless you with the track of music. I want you to talk about, because this is the God that we serve. I look at your past and what
yes.
you've just shared.
Yes.
But where you are now.
Yes.
And what God is doing through you now. You're now the pastor of Victory Outreach in Mitchell's Plain.
Amen.
A yeah. thriving church.
Amen.
Doing great exploits for God.
Amen.
Transforming many lives.
Amen.
You know, and I have seen firsthand the yes. work that you, your wife, and your ministry is doing
yes.
with drug addicts and yes. how their lives are not just changed, but
yes.
supernaturally transformed.
Yes.
And so when we come back from this music track, I want you just to talk about what you're doing, but talk about some of the traumas that catapults people into the position where they are dependent on substances
yes.
to come through okay. their given day. So we're gonna talk a little bit more about that on the other side of this. There's a song that Neville D writes or wrote, and he's featuring Brian Temba as well as Lebohang, as well as Valley Eaton. I want you to listen to the song. I want you, the listener, to listen to me tonight. Hear me when I say that, and I want to encourage myself, even though there are things happening in your family that you did not foresee happening, your family's broken up, things happened, life happened, you are not where you foresaw yourself to be. Some of your family members are addicted to substances. Some are not even living at home. Some are living on the street. You don't even know where some of them are. I don't know what the name of your family issue is, but there's an issue. This one thing I know is that we have a God and He's working on our behalf. And Romans 8:28 comes to mind that in all these things, God works together for the good to those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. So I don't know what it is that you're facing right now, but I want you to know, in the words of the song that Neville D wrote, it's called Behind the Scenes. And while everything is happening in your face, behind the scenes, there is a God, there is a Father, and He is working it out. All you need to do is pray and trust and believe. Enjoy this.
It's for you.
Behind the CEO.
Home is where you belong. Your home with CCFM 107.5.
You know what I'm going to say. One of my all-time favorite songs, Worthy by Elevation Worship. What a song. What a powerful song. And prior to that, we had Behind the Scenes by Neville D. Right here on CCFM. So wonderful to have some of our regular listeners tuning in. Natasha, thank you. She says, I'm tuned into my weekly segment. Thank you so much for your listening tonight. Sydney Carolison, husband to Maimuna, thank you so much. He says the Carolisons are tuned in and enjoying the program. Hashtag the reunion was epic. I guess that's the wife speaking there. Thank you, Maimuna. God bless you, you both. Just so wonderful to see all of you. Look here, somebody saying love to my favorite pastor, Nathan, and that comes from Mol January. I guess it's somebody from your church.
Yeah, Mama. Hallo Mamo.
Oh.
Long time no see.
Mamo, moet kom gesig wees, nee? Wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you for the word every Sunday to me and daughter Veronique and Cynthia. That's yes. Also from your church. That's Cynthia Creel. It's so wonderful to have some of Pastor Nathan's congregants listening and tuning in from Mitchell's Plain. I see some of the good people are here as well. This one says, Nancy, Pastor Namin Khas, all I can say is bye, thank you for the onderhoud. Wow, wow, wow. Ek is by Victory Outreach, good, maar ek moet, in capitals, mutual spleen kom, besoek, wow, so waar. Wees liever daar, Eric, bid vir hom of haar, oh my word, thank you weer eens, seëninge in oorvloed oor jouself, jou gesinne, mag jou voetspore nooit deur die wind weggewaai word nie. Esmeralda, so prachtig in Afrikaans.
Amen, die hemelse taal.
Prachtig. Oh Mark, I see your message. Bless you, sir. Listen, while the music was playing, I can't even wait to get home. Because Pastor Nathan just shared, did we share that? We didn't share that on air.
No.
Just shared what you just shared about this recent, there's nog 'n farse getuienis.
Yes, yes. Last night, we were at a revival service in Goodwood, at our church in Goodwood. And one of our dear sisters came to me, and she said she hasn't seen her son since Sunday. She doesn't know where he is. And then she asked us just to pray for him, and I prayed with her. And we send the angel's charge Jesus. Concerning his life. And about, say, 2 hours after that, she sent me a text to say he's arrived safely. He's in Musenberg.
Mighty
and I
God.
Know where he is.
Mighty
so
God.
The God that we serve is with us. Those
yes.
who are with us are more than those who are against us. So
but this is the powerful thing. You told her within 24 hours.
Yes.
Not even 2 hours later, she notified you.
Amen.
This is the God that we serve. We can call them back home
yes.
in Jesus'
in
name.
Jesus' name.
We can send the angels
Amen.
To go and locate them
Amen.
And bring them home
in
Jesus'
name.
Oh, mighty God in heaven.
Yes,
Pastor Nathan, we spoke about, thank you for sharing that testimony. We spoke earlier about some of the traumas that people face that pushes them
yes.
to the other side where they go like in a downward spiral of almost self-destruction because
yes.
they just don't know how to deal with it.
Yes.
Just talk about some of the encounters
yes.
that you
yes.
had and
yeah,
still have.
With regards to that and what kind of triggers individuals to turn that way, is really with the trauma and not knowing how to deal with pain.
Yes.
That they've experienced, whether either being violated, maybe being abused, some just being abandoned, or even just, how can I say, just left. And I think what happens with that, not knowing how to deal with that, It eventually develops almost like a sort of unforgiveness within a person's heart. And that's what causes the trauma and makes them unable to basically deal with life's challenges. And because of being unable to deal with life's challenges, the best way is to just numb yourself. Just try and forget it, or try and make as if it's never happened or it's not there. But like, that's not how life works, or even how your body works, or even how your spirit works. Like, the things that bring hindrance eventually needs to be dealt with.
Yes.
You know, so I think in my experience, those are some of the things that leads to addiction, depression, anxiety, is fear giving birth to, you know, anxiousness and becoming depressed. And it gives birth to not knowing your identity, not being convinced of who you are as a person and who God created you to be. And yesterday, while at the service, we had a service with an evangelist, and he mentioned something. He says, like, being lame means that you are unconvinced.
Wow.
And in light of the story you mentioned with Mephibosheth and what Prophet Julian Klassen shared, like, he was dropped, and him being dropped led to his lameness.
Right.
And sometimes when we are dropped, we've then become unconvinced with who we are, and even with whose we are. And in those doubts and those huge question marks allows us to find those answers and those that satisfaction of knowing, like, I'm loved, I belong to this family, this is, you know, who's mine type of thing, and this is who I am. And when we don't have that, we try and find it in other places. And that's when we end up making the wrong decisions. Because we haven't been taught how to make the right decisions. And I think that that trauma, those things that are left unsaid, undone. And I thank God for my wife, because she really showed me something different. She grew up in a house where her dad was on drugs for 30 years.
Wow.
Her mom was a working mom. She attended the crusade of Reinhard Bonnke in Valhalla Park. God touched her life and she got radically saved. She's been safe since then, but she had a husband that was caught up on drug addiction, and he's been on drugs for 30 years. So my wife doesn't know what it is to be a drug addict, but she knows what it is to live in a house where there's drug addiction, where there's chaos, where there's turmoil. And she's also seen how a mother kept on serving her father in the midst of the madness, still loving him as if he was that man of God. And one day he just came into the living room and said, I'm done. I'm done with my drugs. I want to serve God. And since that day, he's never gone back to drugs. I think he's saved now for 19, 20 years. That's 19, 20 years ago. But one of the things that she's done and taught me is that how, as a parent, sometimes the decisions we make as parents is not always the best of decisions, especially when we don't have the Lord in our lives. And sometimes as parents, we don't acknowledge how our decisions contribute to the breakdown within our children. And one afternoon, while just spending time in the presence of the Lord, my wife called our two oldest children together, and she told them, you know, I'm sorry. Forgive me for my lifestyle before I met Jesus that led to you experiencing trauma within your life. And what that did was it brought, you know, the kids to a place of having to make a decision, you know. And obviously they love their mom and they forgave her. But it taught me something that even as no matter who we are, we all make mistakes. And sometimes we don't understand the magnitude or how our mistakes or our decisions contributes to breaking somebody else down. And when you have a relationship with the Lord will always remind you of those things and bring you to a place of confronting it. And when we confront it, we then have to make a decision. Am I going to acknowledge my part in it? Or am I just going to act dumb as if I don't know what happened or it's not me? When God knows, he's showing you the truth. So it's either we're going to own up, acknowledge, and then seek forgiveness from those that we wronged. Mm-hmm. And as we do that, it opens up the door and sets in motion a snowball effect of forgiveness.
Yes.
And no one has ever gotten sick from forgiving.
True. True that. So true.
Many people are sick because of not forgiving.
Unforgiveness, yeah.
But no one has gotten sick or anything bad happened to them because of forgiving those who's wronged them and even those who they've wronged and even themselves. And I think for me, that is one of the things that really has to happen within every person's life, especially those who acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. Because what I've encountered is many people get saved and they automatically think whatever happened in my life before I got saved is just gone. And spiritually, yes, you are a new creation.
Right.
The old is gone and the new has come. However, our actions and how that has impacted others, the love of God compels us to go back and seek for forgiveness when we understand how much we've been forgiven of.
So true.
And for me, that's like being something huge, you know, that God really wants to do, especially in families.
Especially in families. You know, I love what your wife did.
Amen.
And I want to commend her for that.
Amen.
I do want to also just mention that many of us had our children after we saved.
Yes.
But still we make decisions that can cause harm and can put our kids on a completely different trajectory of and that their lives can take in. Now recently, our ladies, we have, most of the time we have nights of prayer, like a whole night of prayer with breaks in between, and our last gathering was a few weeks ago, and I just felt in my spirit that I should do moms and daughters.
Yes.
Which we did. But during one of the sessions, this was what I said. Can moms and daughters just find a space? And moms, can you release a blessing over your daughter? Speak a word of life into your daughter's life. And then whatever you want to share. But while I was talking to my daughter, I apologized for the hurtful things that I may have done.
Yes.
That I have said that because oftentimes, I mean, I can see sometimes I say something that I know that what I'm saying is right, but the way I say it comes out the wrong way and it hurts feelings. And so we have an opportunity now under normal circumstances. It's very difficult to just call. Like what your wife did that particular day was under the unction.
Yes.
You know, but God created an opportunity in church for the moms and daughters to connect and to share whatever they can't normally share under normal circumstances. And so, ladies, moms, dads, you are given almost like a second chance tonight.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is that you've done, whether it was in your unsaved days or in your saved days, that you've done that caused harm to your children. They can either still be at home, look like they are fine, but deep down they are hurting.
True.
You know, and my heart aches because I see this. I see how children's lives are wrecked because of things that parents, and in your mind you think, because in my mind I'm telling Hope a certain thing because I can see where she's going if, but you know what?
Yeah.
It hurts.
Yeah.
And so you are given almost like a second chance tonight.
Amen.
Use it.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Yeah.
So you've been... Mighty God, you shared the last time that your eldest son got saved a year ago.
Yes, almost 2 years.
Almost 2 years ago. Now, you think that this is a pastor, he's been serving God. How can his son only have been saved for 2 years? What is happening? Talk to us about that.
Yes, you know, I think... We can look back now and laugh. At that time, it wasn't funny.
No.
But yeah, we can just give God all the glory for the work that He does in the hearts of His people. And I think, once again, that has also been a contributing factor in leading up to His salvation as well. Is we've seen with this young man, you know, how his life has been impacted by various things and how the enemy has been after him. The enemy has really, literally been after him. And I thank God for the privilege I was given to, you know, really father him and be a part of his life. And yeah, he had a hard, challenging growing up. Or should I say he was just a normal young man?
Yeah.
Not normal, but like called by God, trying to run from it, trying to deny it, going the opposite direction, getting involved in all the wrong things. And once, I think one encounter we had is that we received a call from school. I won't mention the school, but we had to go and collect him. When we got there, the guy was smoked out of his mind. He couldn't even sit up straight. And oh, what happened then was we had to, they eventually, part of the disciplinary measure was he had to go to Cape Town Drug Counseling Center.
So this is Pastor Nathan and
we work
Pastor
with
Janine.
Drug addicts.
This is, you know, this is the real deal. You're facing this firsthand.
Firsthand.
Did you see yourself in him?
Yes, definitely. Definitely, like just trying to fit in, find your identity, sure. and you know, being in that setting, you know, it was really a testing of our faith.
I cannot even begin to imagine what you two went through.
Yes.
How old was he at that time?
At that time, I think he was like 15, 16.
Mm.
And yeah, it was, you know, like a blemish. But I thank God, early in my salvation, He taught me, you know, I wouldn't say not to be concerned about public opinion, but to not use that as a factor. People will talk
anyway,
regardless.
Yeah.
It's just up to us whether what they say is true or not.
Mm.
So in the midst of all of that, because usually I find with many parents, when something like that happens, their first concern is, oh, what's the people going to say? But in the midst of all of that, once again, and I really thank God for my wife.
Mm.
Just loving him,
still
telling him the hard truths, putting certain measures in place,
right?
But still loving him, and I think that has been a posture throughout his journey, and leading up to that. And then I also thank God for our church family, because that's what's also important is that those that God's allowed us to journey with. Then in that season also came around him as far as
important.
He would allow them.
Yeah.
But still letting him know he has a place.
Yeah.
He has a family that loves him. He doesn't need to look outside, but this is where God wants him and how God wants to use him. And I thank God for our church family that came alongside
Praise
him,
God.
Continue to love on him. Because I know usually if the pastor's kids do something, that's the hot topic in the church most of the time.
Yes.
But I thank God for those he's placed on our journey and on our path that has really journeyed with us and come around him and loved on him.
Yes.
And we had a crusade. We planted a new church in Port Elizabeth.
Mm.
And there was a crusade. And one of the guys, we mobilized the home down, and one of the guys in the home signed up. They paid his package to go down, and then he left the home. And obviously he couldn't get a refund because those things were paid, transport, accommodation, all of those things.
Yeah.
And then the parents said, no, you can sponsor somebody.
Mm.
And then the director, which is one of the sons in the house that God's given me the privilege to work with, he asked our son, Keenan, do you want to go with? And without hesitation, he said yes.
He did.
So while unsaved, he went on the crusade.
Yes.
They gave him flyers to hand out. He was handing out flyers in the streets.
He was doing evangelism.
Yes.
And
one open-air rally that they had, while they were making the plea, does anyone want to give their heart to the Lord?
Wow.
He lifted up his hand.
Mighty God.
And he said, I want to make that commitment to Jesus. And he gave his heart to Jesus.
That is God.
And God has just been doing an amazing work within his life. At the moment, he's the sound guy in our church.
Wow.
So not only is he saved, but he's serving in the house too.
He's serving, yeah.
And God's really given him a passion for like young people that don't seem to fit in. I think God's anointed him for that. And even he got a word on Sunday night. We were all at service and the evangelist gave him a word that God's really called him to be one of the evangelists in the house.
Sure.
That God's going to use to send to the nations and bring them in to the kingdom. So we bless God for that.
Praise God.
But once again, it started with an incident that wasn't too pleasant.
Yes.
And I think as children of God, we need to learn now not to get too excited.
Yeah, or caught up in it. It was actually the birth of his ministry.
Yeah. So it's easier said than done.
Oh, of course.
You know, we sometimes have to catch ourselves in light of that. Even when we make mistakes, when we overreact.
Yes.
To acknowledge that, because that is teaching our children and even those we encounter what true Christianity looks like.
Mm.
It's not having the form of godliness and denying its power. And the power is not just only in the miraculous, in the signs and the wonders, but also in the forgiveness.
Right. In the daily life.
In the acknowledging of your wrongs.
Yes.
As ek nou verkeerd is, dan sê jy maar, dit is verkeerd. Moet nie vir jou.
Yeah.
Groot ou nie.
Yes. Yes.
You know, so those type of things, and that's what I've learned on my journey thus far, and even in that encounter as well.
Yeah.
And we thank God we're not perfect, you know, but one thing we don't make a secret of is that we love Jesus.
Yes.
We make mistakes, we fall short daily, but we thank our Heavenly Father that is there to pick us up when we acknowledge our wrong.
Yes.
And we come running back to Him.
This God that we serve.
Sure.
Is just so awesome.
You see,
God can use you in this way because you've done, you've experienced.
Yes.
How can I encourage a person who had a miscarriage?
Yeah.
How can I be an encouragement to somebody who almost is on the brink of losing their house because they're not employed?
Yes.
I've been there.
Yes.
I've been there where for 2 months we couldn't pay rent. I've been there where I lost a baby after 10 years. So I speak from first-hand experience. I didn't watch a movie or read it in a book.
Yes.
So too, you are able to minister to drug addicts from a place of first-hand
experience.
Doing it, experiencing it. But how can you encourage families? You're a parent.
Yes.
And you experienced it.
Yes.
This is God. Amen. It's like our pain. My husband always says that our pain is for someone else's gain.
So
and listen, when we're in it.
Yes.
I don't want to hear about that. No. Don't tell me about your pain. Is for No. Here, help it for me. He won't give you more than what you can handle. Here, ek wil niks van dit hoor, die tijd nie.
I'll be by the strongest soldier list of us, I believe, here.
The tall trees gets the strongest means here and near. But, you know, it when you come through.
Yes.
Then you realize.
Yes, so true.
And so, please don't despise what you're going through.
Yes.
The valley that you're going through now.
Yes.
Will bear much fruit.
Yes. So
and true. Will bear great testimony.
Yes.
And when you get through on the other side, you will look at the valley not as a place of lowness.
Yes.
But you will look at the valley as a place of refuge and rest.
Yes.
So finding shade.
Yes.
Because the valley can mean different things to different people. And so may the valley that you're in now, where you are in a place of feeling low, feeling depressed, feeling all negative things that you can, may you, once you're through what you're going through, look at your valley in a very different light in Jesus' name. I commend you and your wife for the powerful and awesome work that you're doing.
Thank you, Pastor.
Tell us about the homes.
Yes. I believe the homes is part of the heart of God. The homes is a place of refuge where men and women are able to come to experience the love of God. Mm. Our homes are free of charge for, we try and take the time limit off, but we usually say 9 to 12 months.
Okay.
Because we really believe that God not only wants to get people off drugs, but wants them to fulfill His purpose and His plan upon their lives.
Yes.
And so the home is not a shelter. It's not for those that don't have a place to go to. Mm. It's really for those that, you know, are tired of living a certain way and really want transformation. And one of the things, I came through the home about 17 years ago. I went into the home, and I was in the home for about 15 months.
Wow.
I graduated the home by the grace of God.
Mighty God.
And one of the things we learn in the home, if you've completed the home, you can take on anything in life.
Really?
Because you've learned how to deal with different characters, different personalities, different seasons, and still, you know, made a decision to hold on to Jesus. So the homes are, I was in them 15 months. From there, I eventually went to the UTC, which is our leadership training center, and then got involved in the church. But the homes, once again, you know, we have homes, three homes in Cape Town. There's one in Mitchell's Plain. There's one in Wynberg under the leadership of Pastor Justin and Crystal Dreyer.
Okay.
And also the home in Hanover Park that's connected to the Cape Town Church, which is in Goodwood. And those three homes, you know, continue to work together, ensuring that we are able to meet the needs of those that's in the city that they really want change. And we have more homes. There's one in Port Elizabeth, Bloemfontein.
Wow.
Johannesburg, we have cities there in the west side as well as the east side. I'm not talking about gangs, I'm talking about the sides of the city.
Yes.
And then also one in Pretoria as well.
That is phenomenal.
Yes. And then phenomenal. So together we house about 300 people collectively at one time by the grace of God.
That's powerful. And it's free for those who are enrolled.
Yes.
How do you fund that?
That comes through the church that we belong to, that the home is connected to.
Yeah.
And then also we do have something called fundraisers, because we have three mandates in the home. Is the first mission that we have in the home is to ensure that all those coming into the home have a solid relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yes, I like that.
The second mission that we have is to ensure that we are facilitating family restoration. And the third mission that we have is to ensure that a positive work ethic is developed within those that are in our care.
Yeah.
And then we have that through having fundraisers that happen, you know, for a certain amount of hours within the day. And then from the monetary contributions that come through that, that goes into the upkeep of the home.
Yeah.
Connection with what comes in through the church as well.
Yes.
So that's how we do it. So, you know, just teaching the men, and for those that have women's homes, the women as well, like how to apply yourself. That just that you saved and God wants to bless you, you can't just be sitting on your blessed assurance and just waiting for it. God backs up, you know, as we step out.
Right.
If you read throughout the Bible, as we step out, God backs us up.
Yeah.
So that's basically how we do work it in terms of, you know, keeping the upkeep of
that
the homes.
That is wonderful.
And then the partnership of the families as well. You know, we do strongly encourage the support of the family despite the hurt and the pain. Because once again, it's not only the person that got hurt that's on drugs that needs to be ministered to.
Yes.
But even the family as well. And we really thank God for the families that have come alongside their loved ones. Because other families treat the home at times as a panel shop. If you're causing an accident, you drop it off. And you tell the people working there, call me when it's done.
Yeah.
But the Victory Home is not a panel shop. It's a partnership and a journey. Where sometimes, and I heard this testimony yesterday, one of the ladies was sharing that God caused or allowed something to happen in the family, and she came in support of a sister's son that came into the home. But all along, God wanted to get to her.
Sure.
So sometimes werk die Here verkeerd om reg. He sometimes causes a storm one side to get us to a certain place. Yes. Where he's able to get a hold of us. And you know, once again, God doesn't just want to do a work in the life of the individual that's coming into the home, but in the family as well, because there's life after the home.
Right.
And what are the disciples? We call them the disciples. What are the disciples going back home to?
Wow.
Has the situation been addressed, the elephant in the room, that everybody's just walking around, no one wants to talk about? And usually what happens if it's not addressed or the family doesn't grow spiritually, it usually leads to a contributing factor that might lead the disciple back to their old life. So everybody has the responsibility.
Is the responsibility.
Firstly, the individual, and then everyone that they are connected to as well. But obviously as time goes and as they continue to sit under the word of God and encouraged and have encounters with the presence of God, He is able to do the surgery in the areas that nobody sees or knows about, and then bring that reconciliation among the family.
Powerful. Now, I know that you are busy with, thank you for sharing that. I know that you're busy with a series at church at the moment. On families. And so I'm going to ask you to release what you came here with tonight.
Amen.
Concerning families. So I'm going to zip it and ask you to speak a word of life and encourage, guide and lead and, however God wants you to share tonight.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. I think I mentioned many of those things as I went along. Yeah. Excuse me. But one of the things that the Lord really laid upon my heart a number of years back, and I think this has been one of the focuses of our church, is that family really matters. And what God has showed me is that in the life of Abram, in Genesis, God's plan and heart has always been for families. We see it in Adam's life, the first turmoil and onslaught of the enemy was on the family. The first murder that took place was in a family. So the first breakdown in humanity was in a family. And that led to, you know, just the world becoming a dark place where God had to flood the earth in order to take out an entire, you know, generation of people and then rebirth, you know, his people. And through that, from Noah to Abram. And he gave a word to Abram in Genesis 12, verse 1 to 3, where he said, you know, Abram, leave your father's house and go to a land I will yet show you. I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And through your loins, the families of the earth shall be blessed. So the heart of God has always been to bless families. And, you know, throughout the process and through the word of God and, you know, his presence coming closer to mankind through Moses. And we eventually see, you know, Jesus becoming the sacrificial lamb that eventually reconciles us to the Father.
Yes.
And through that reconciliation, we now become ministers of the Spirit. That the same reconciliation we experienced of being far off, feeling like we've been rejected, feeling like we've been abandoned, feeling like we've been left just to be orphans. The word of the Lord says that I will not leave you orphans. And because of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, no matter how bad the situation is, no matter how chaotic the family dynamics might be, the Father is able and willing to bring reconciliation and turn what the enemy intended for harm, turn it around for the good, and even use the experience, as Pastor mentioned, as a weapon.
Come on.
To now set other families free, to let them know it doesn't matter how messed up your family might be. Even though you don't want anybody else to know about what's happening and what's going on, God knows.
Yes.
And he's able and willing, if we come and bring it to him, he's able and willing to turn things around. Some situations can happen suddenly,
yes.
But others need work. But in the process of it happening, he's looking for somebody to take a stand and say, Lord, it doesn't look like much right now, but I'm willing to trust you. And I think that's where God wants us to come to, is to a place of complete surrender to him. And because we can't, in our own strength, when we try and do something or try and get involved, it just messes things up more. But when we stand before the Father and say, Father, I can't, but you can. You will show us great and mighty things which we know not of as we call out to his
mighty
name.
God.
And when we do that, and it starts happening, all we can stand, do, and say is, oh, look what the Lord has done.
Right.
Because no man can glory in his presence or take credit for work that
Absolutely.
He has done. And I think that is important, you know, to really take that posture, understanding God's heart, understanding his mind, and then being able to apply ourselves to that end. So that we can see, you know, a finished work happening within our families.
Yes.
And the stronger our families become, the stronger our communities
right.
will become.
Right.
The stronger our communities become, the stronger the family, stronger the church. The stronger the church, the stronger the community.
Right.
The stronger the community, the stronger the city. The
right.
city, the province,
yes.
the nation.
Yes.
The nation, the world.
The world, yes.
And it
yes.
starts with us.
Individual we don't have to, family, sure.
And if we and this is my praise that God would just allow each family to experience his presence firstly.
Amen.
And then also for God to give each family or person standing in the gap for their family the conviction not to give up. Because especially those that want to stand, they will always be like an onslaught on their lives. But we should never fear because we, and Pastor Naomi mentioned that don't despise your past.
Right.
But God gave me a word as well early in the year. He said, don't despise what God allows.
Wow.
Because whatever happens
so true.
Is what God allows.
Yeah, he does.
Because if we acknowledge and give our lives to Christ, we belong to him.
Yes.
So nothing will come our way that God did not allow.
Yes.
The good, the bad, and even the ugly. But God allows it for a purpose.
Right.
Amen. And he will not allow us to die through it. But eventually we come to a place of being able to encourage others as he gives us understanding.
Yes.
And you know, just changes the situations as we keep on standing. And as we keep on standing in the midst of trials and tribulations, our character expands. Our faith grows.
My God.
Our confidence and conviction of who he is to us becomes immovable. That no matter what happens,
whether
you're faced with a dire situation, we're able to come to a place like Job that says, even though he slay me, yet will I trust him.
Yes.
Like where Esther was, or even the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that said to King Nebuchadnezzar, when he offered them a second chance to bow down, he said, like, King Nebi is fine, man. You don't have to give us a second chance. We will not bow down. The God we serve can save us. But even if he doesn't, we still will not bow down. And that is confidence of who the Father is.
Bold.
You know?
Statement, a bold
confidence.
Bold as lions. Sure.
So the fire couldn't even contain them. Call them their bold, their boldness. And that's what's available to us all. But it's just a matter of what shall we choose?
Come on.
Or we choose to go back into our old ways, to reason and deal with things we've done in the past. Or we really put ourselves out there and trust God, even if we look as if we are fools. But to know that he's got our backs. And his heart is to see our families restored.
Sure.
And that is what I rest in. And continue to communicate to God's people is that he wants to make our families better.
Yes. Yes.
It's his heart.
It is his heart. calling the hearts of the fathers.
It's back to the sons.
Back to the hearts of the sons. That is that is what he wants. Yeah. That's the heart of the Father.
Yes.
That's restoration of families.
Yes.
And it's a choice that you need to make.
Yes.
Lord, this is what I want for my family.
And it's gonna take not so much work. It's just gonna take a firm decision.
Yeah.
And to stick by it.
Stick by it, yeah.
Because ultimately the Holy Spirit does the work. We just need to allow Him to do it. And even to confront the areas that's like, eina, like, muni da krapi.
Exactly. And that is where the choice lies, in that,
exactly.
Are you willing to open yourselves up? Are you willing to make yourself vulnerable?
Yes.
Are you willing to, yeah.
Yes.
Open up yourselves and, yeah.
So true. And so even like with fathers as well, Apostle Naomi, I think with men it's a bit more challenging to really come to that place of acknowledgement and vulnerability.
Yeah.
And you know, that is definitely something that we need to look at and zoom into when it comes to men.
And to acknowledge, because it's very difficult as men to acknowledge when you've done wrong, because you feel, listen, let me not, yeah.
Yeah.
But let me rest it there.
Yes.
It's just to get to that place where you've done wrong, acknowledge it.
Yes.
Because it's okay. It doesn't take away from your manhood.
No.
In fact, it adds.
Yes.
Because it shows that you can be bold.
Yes.
Heroic, masculine, and all of that.
Yes.
But have that tender-heartedness.
Yes.
I'm making up my own words here.
Yeah.
Of, you know, and it's the heart of the Father.
Yes.
Because, yeah, so, yeah, it's a decision. It's time to decide.
Yes. It's a decision.
It's a decision.
It's a decision.
Because God wants to. He wants to bring restoration. He wants to bring healing. He wants to restore your family.
Yes. He wants to.
What do you say to blended families?
I think to blended families is be honest with the dynamics at play.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously there's different dynamics with blended families. So be honest about it and try not to focus on the things you can't change. Because I think sometimes with blended families, we spend time on the things that we can't change.
Because it's so painful. Because
yeah.
It's just so painful, the rejection, the...
Yes.
He left, she left,
yes.
Took on another family. They get the benefit and all the privileges of what the first family should have. It's just so much hurt.
Yes.
So much... I see it.
Yes.
I see it. And it's very difficult for... Yeah.
Yes.
But this restoration.
It's restoration.
And I like what you're saying is to, instead of focusing on that which you cannot change, is to open yourself up to that which can.
Yes.
And to work with God to make it better.
Yes. And allow God access, man. Because sometimes, like, you know, focusing on the things we can't change makes you bitter.
And it takes away of what can happen
what
and the beauty
happen.
That can still happen.
And the possibilities,
right?
The vast
Endless.
Possibilities of what God wants
oh,
to do
man.
And can do. You know? So when we shift our focus, like, and once again, I'm not nullifying the pain that many experience in that situation.
Yeah.
But like, you know, and then just being honest about your role in it.
Yes.
Like if you've been a victim of it, you know, someone left you, like, and this is their decision. If you can't change it, like, release the person and draw closer to God. And from that place, the strength you draw from the Lord and learn teaching us how to deal with the emotional hurt and pain that goes with it.
Yeah.
Getting us victory, healing us and lifting us up.
Because that in itself can push you to the
to
the bottle, to the drugs,
to
substance.
Just to numb yourself and run away from it.
Yeah, that's trauma in itself.
True. But one thing we also need to, and just to put this out there, no matter the decisions people make, each decision you make, you have the liberty to do it, but you don't have the luxury to choose the consequences.
Sadly.
Mm. So, like, whatever decision somebody makes,
sure.
And the word is clear, whatever you sow, you will reap.
Right.
So therefore, we have to be very mindful about our the decisions we make. Whether we've made bad decisions, acknowledge it and come clean before God and speak to those we've hurt. But if somebody made a bad decision, you on the other end of it, you know, like really, like ask God to give you the grace to heal from that. And even the boldness and the courage to move on from that. And to, you know, trust Him for the plan that He still has for your life.
Right.
Because even though we think we mess up the plan, we can't mess up the planner.
Sure.
And the planner His plan come to pass, no matter the situation surrounding it.
Doesn't matter how many potholes and detours and roadblocks or mountains and valleys you had to go through.
So true.
But ultimately, His plan will prevail.
True. And that's what
it will take longer, but it will prevail in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. So we once again, everything comes down to trusting the Father. Trusting the Father.
Wow.
Trusting the Father for who He is, that He is a good, good Father, and that He does desire good things for His children.
Yes.
Not just to treat Him as a genie in the bottle and come to Him whenever we just need something.
Yes.
But loving Him for who He is. He's our Father. So we need to love Him like our Father, you know? And receive the love He gives us.
Absolutely.
We don't have to earn it. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to jump through hoops for it.
Mm-mm.
Just receive it.
It's free.
It's free. Mahala.
Take it.
Just take it.
Oh, man.
Sure.
There's just such a sweet, sweet fragrance in the studio right now.
Amen.
Sure. I wonder if you can throw out the lifeline to somebody who doesn't know, number one, doesn't know the Lord as their Savior. And then have people make that decision to accept the Lord in their lives.
Amen.
But throw out another lifeline for those who have been dropped, those who have been hurt, those that were on the receiving end of poor decisions of other people.
Yes.
And because of that trauma, they've succumbed to the pressures of this world and their life took a turn that they didn't envision.
Yes.
Throw out a lifeline for them also.
Amen. Yeah, so tonight, whoever's in the sound of my voice, this evening you have an opportunity. I would like to present you with an opportunity to really be introduced to the lover of your soul, of our souls.
Yes.
His name is Jesus.
Mighty God.
The fullness of the Godhead, the one who reconciles us with the Father.
Yes.
And even this evening, I myself, you know, did not know Him at a point in my life.
Jesus.
And I thought I knew how to live life, but I discovered how little I actually knew. And I came to a place of really acknowledging that I needed to reach out to Him. And when I reached out and cried out to His name, He received me just the way I was. And as He received me just the way I was, He cleaned me up from the inside out. And this evening, I would like to present you with that opportunity. And if you listening, you maybe feel like you're alone, you maybe feel like you've been forgotten, that you've been abandoned, that you know, you're struggling all by yourself. I want to let you know that God sees you. God hears your cries in the midnight hour when no one else is around. Maybe there's even someone that you know you act a certain way in front of people.
Sure.
But when you are home alone or in your bed at night, you feel empty. Even in the midst of the crowd, you feel empty. And you know, I want to let you know that Jesus loves you just the way you are, but He loves you too much to just leave you the same.
Yes.
And this evening, He's crying out for you to draw closer to Him. And as you draw closer to Him, He will envelope you with His loving arms by His Holy Spirit. And this evening, if that is you, you know, I would just like to ask you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me just the way I am. but loving me too much to leave me the same. I need you. I've tried to live life my way, but every time I move forward, I find myself further back. So tonight, I believe that you, Jesus, are the Son of God. You died on the cross for my sins, but you rose again on the third day, victorious over my past, my sin, and even hell and death. And this evening, I receive your life in me.
Yes.
Have your way in me.
In Jesus.
Be glorified in me and continue to change and transform me from the inside out and use me to the furtherance of your kingdom in Jesus' name.
Jesus
Father, I pray for every person that said that prayer, that you would forgive them of their sins, cleanse them from all unrighteousness, remove guilt, shame, and every weight of sin. And may you continue to lift them up, O God, envelope them by the power of your Holy Spirit, O God. And may you continue to be glorified in and through their lives. And as you transform them, may you continue to do a work even in their families. May you continue to bring radical transformation within their families. Lead them to a church that is filled with your Spirit and teaches your unadulterated word, O God. And as you continue to lead and guide them, O God, may they become everything that you've created them to be. Take them from strength to strength, glory to glory, and faith to faith. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Mighty God. And Father, we want to just further pray for all those prayer requests that came in tonight. The requests for unemployment.
Yes, Lord.
Or for those who are unemployed, who needs an open door of employment. I pray for those who lack finances. I pray for those who need a place to stay. I pray for those who are sick in the body.
Yes,
Father God, we commit them before you. We submit their issues before you.
Father.
And we pray, Spirit of the living God, that you will intervene and that you will provide, that you will be the Jehovah Jireh in their lives in Jesus' name. Father God, I thank you for all those whose prayer requests you have answered.
Yes,
tonight we want to come back and we want to build an altar of thanksgiving, an altar of praise. Father God, every day we receive praise reports of people who we have prayed for and whose prayers you have answered. And tonight I want to come back and thank you. Thank you for life.
Yes, my Lord.
Thank you for provision.
Yes.
Thank you for healing. Thank you for restoration.
Yes, Father.
Father God, I pray that you will bless our families.
Jesus.
Pastor Nathan, won't you just release a blessing over families in Jesus' name?
Father, we thank you for
God.
Every family, O God, every person
that
represents every family. We thank you as we speak and declare your blessing, O God, over thousands of families this evening,
Lord.
God. Lord, even situations that seems to be broken beyond repair, we thank you that you are the great mender.
Mighty
you are able
God.
To put together, my God, what seems to be out of order and broken beyond repair. Only you can do this.
Yes.
And Father, I thank you, O God, every father, every mother, every son, every daughter, every brother, every sister listening in, O God, that Lord, whatever role they play, O God, according to your word, that they would be true to that role. And
in
as
the
they are true to
Jesus.
That role, God, they would give you access to come in and impact their family, O God.
In the name
Father,
of
we thank
Jesus.
You for the restoration of families, O God.
Yes,
for this Lord. Is your heart. This is your mind. This is your desire, and what you declared shall take place, O God. So, Father, we pray now that, Lord, you would even call wayward fathers, O God,
in
from the
name
north, the south,
Jesus.
The east, the west, O God.
Yes,
those
Lord.
Who seem to have forgotten
yes,
about their children, God.
Oh,
Lord,
Jesus
bring
name.
Them back home, God. Lord,
home,
may your
God.
Spirit grab a hold of them. May
in
your
the
angels, God,
Jesus.
Be sent charge to find them, God,
yes,
and bring
Lord.
Them back
yes,
to acknowledge
Lord.
Their responsibility,
in
O
the
God.
Name of
even
Jesus.
Mothers, my God, that might be wayward and left their children, God.
In the
Father,
name
we thank you that you are bringing them back in the mighty name of Jesus. We even thank you for children that might have left home, those that might have left on a bad note, those that might have stolen from their parents, oh God. Lord, or might have become, my God, a point of shame to their families, oh God. Father, we thank you in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that by your Spirit, you will do a mighty work within these children, oh God. And that, Lord, whatever, my God, the world said is impossible, every neighbor, my God, every other family member, we thank you that you are silencing and shutting the mouth of the enemy, because you are coming through for your people, oh God, and restoring families, oh God. And from that, we thank you that you are changing the narrative. You are changing the story concerning certain families, families that have encountered, my God, Lord, ridicule for years, oh God. Lord, families, oh God, have been, my God, mocked, oh God, has become, my God, a word of, my God, a discouragement, oh God, and even reproof in the mouths of others, oh God. We thank you that you are changing their stories right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, for you shall be glorified through these situations and within the lives of these families, oh God. And Lord, when you come through, not if, but when you come through, we pray, oh God, that you would lead these families
in the name
to come
of
to
Jesus.
A place, oh God, like Pastor Naomi prayed, oh God, to erect an altar of thanksgiving unto you, my God. Father, we pray, God, that Lord, you would continue to have your way. Bless families with your blessing that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. And as you do that, oh God, we will be careful to acknowledge that we can't, but you can. So have your way.
Have your way.
And may your will be done and your kingdom be established within the lives of your people. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray with much thanksgiving. Amen and amen.
What a song. Oh, I love this song. One of my other favorites. What a song. I trust that you enjoyed it as much as I did. Benjamin Dube with In His Presence. The Fredericks family all the way from Strand says, we love your program. We enjoy the Word of God. God is awesome. Some of you have asked for a copy of the program. I'm going to ask you to call CSFM during office hours. You call this number 021-788-9492. 021-788-9492. That's the number for CCFM. That's our reception, all right? You call them and you ask for a copy of the program. You tell them it's the Wednesday evening, time to decide, slot with Naomi Klassen from 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock. They will probably ask you if you want the songs. You can tell them, no, you just want the speaking. The testimony, no songs, because then they will literally only take that out and send it to you, all right? So do that, 021-788-9492. 021-788-9492, all right? You call that number during office hours. Pastor Nathan, if you could also share your church's details. Somebody also asked, where is that pastor's church? I need to come. So if you can just give the details of your church, please.
Our church is located in town center. It's at the old cinema, the old Bioscope. So it's next to DC Meats, opposite Nedbank, just behind Malomed. If you come with your vehicle, you park at Malomed and then go through the lane where Suburban Spares is.
Yes.
And you follow the lane, or it bends to the right, and you just walk straight down, and then you'll see DC Meats on the left. A lady next to DC Meats, name is Sidwini. She's selling some things there in front, and then also next to her is the door of the church.
Okay.
We meet on Sundays at 9 a.m. And then we're starting our education track this week at 4 p.m. So, and then Fridays as well, our youth meets at 7 p.m. as well.
Amen. Yes. So you want to go. You want to go. Do, it's called Victory Outreach Church.
Yes.
Mitchell's Bay.
Yes.
The old Biscope.
Yeah, the old Biscope.
I love your church's setup.
Yeah,
beautiful
so
setup. We love it.
Amen.
And it's just wonderful that, that we can work together in the town center. Our church is also in the town center. And tonight is Pastor Nathan and Victory Outreach. Yes. Somebody asked for the church's details, and that is where he is. You park in front of Melomed, that parking area there. That is the where the traffic light is. That is where you access. And then there's a lane. You said Suburban Space is the landmark.
Yes.
You have to walk past Suburban Space. Once you pass them, just follow. Follow the lane, and you will then see it on the left-hand side.
Yes.
Victory Outreach.
Amen.
9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, 7 o'clock on Fridays for youth. Please give contact details.
The contact details at the moment is 073-990-2591. I'll repeat that, 073-990-2591.
And I will also type it out and send it to whoever would like it, 073-990-2591. That's the number for Victory Outreach, Mitchell's Plain. Please do make contact with them. See how you can get involved. See how you can assist the homes who is basically sustaining themselves through fundraisers, etc. I think it was your Mother's Day event that was a fundraiser.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
The Mother's Day event was a fundraiser. It was in the form of a beautiful brunch.
Yes.
And it was lovely.
Yes.
It was absolutely lovely. I was a speaker there, but it was just beautiful.
Amen.
It was just a sweet, sweet presence and a sweet fragrance. So do look and see how you can support the In Mitchell's Plain doing phenomenal work for the Lord. And you want to go check. It's a healthy place.
Amen.
And just to think where you've been, what you've gone through, and where you are now, you and your wife. And then I just want to say to God, be all the glory.
Amen.
Amen. So let's give that number again. And maybe if you have any shout outs you want to do it now.
Amen. Yeah. So the number once again is 073-990-2591. And I'd like to give a shout out to my beautiful wife. Amen. Sister Janine Asher. She's not a first lady. She's the only lady.
The only,
amen.
Yes.
And I just want to say I love you, Sister Janine. She's actually doing a teaching to our church in Bloemfontein at the moment.
Oh, wow.
Via Zoom.
Okay.
So she's probably not tuned in. But if she is, I love you, Sister Janine. Amen. Then
I
also,
love you, Sister Janine. That's so cute. You remind me of how the couples back in the day would call each other sister and brother.
Yeah, she's my sister Janine.
Yes.
Then also I'd like to send a shout out to my mom, Nikki Asher, also my aunt Linda, Jonathan, Seth, Corbin, Riley, and then also Arlene, Denzel, Chad, as well as Carly. Also sent to Marcelina, Patoya, Llewellyn, Fadwa, Connor, who else is there? There's Charlene, Chandra, Camden. Amen. Also to my children, amen. Keenan, Jamie, as well as Danika and Jada, as well as some of the family we have there as well. Zinedine is there at home. Zion, Sister Leanne, Anthea, amen. Just a lot of family. And then also all the family of Victory Outreach, Mitchell's Plain.
Come on.
Cape Town, Wynberg, and South Africa, whoever's tuning in, amen.
Yes.
We just one big family, and we had an awesome time this past week. But just family to everyone that knows me, even the beloveds right there in Bonteville, my mindful love, Leslie, Justin, Pastor Norman. I saw a shout out also to Candace and Angelo, Vincent Fucht, amen, the number one hit list, Funny Cops. Afrikaps,
yeah,
amen.
Yes.
To them as well, everybody that's tuning in, all the pastors in the city, Pastor Justin, Pastor Chuck, Pastor Andre, the Rise Up Radio segment host, amen. As Abba Lady Hayes, to all the pastors, all the family, if I didn't mention your name, pray for me. I mean, I don't have Alzheimer's. I have sometimers. Sometimes I remember, sometimes I don't. So, just be greeted in the wonderful name of Jesus. And I pray you are blessed and have a blessed evening further. Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Well, this song was requested earlier on. And Judy said that she requested the song the entire week. But Judy, you had the wrong title. You said, please stay still. But the song is called Stay. So I'm going to do that song now. So many messages that came in, Pastor Nathan, yes, that I'm not going to be able to read. But I do want to say thank you. Thank you to all of you for taking the time to write in. Somebody's just, I think this question you basically answered early on.
Yes.
Where the person said, greetings in Jesus Christ, the Lord and wonderful Savior. Good evening. And then he said, what do we do about substance abusers who continue to steal from us time and time again after I've asked his forgiveness time after time? The word of God says from such people turn away. But I think earlier on you said what your wife told you, just love them.
Yes.
It's not easy.
Not easy.
But just love them.
Yeah.
Because eventually they will turn their ways and change their ways, right?
Because I think sometimes we also misunderstand love. Sometimes we think love is to just allow or give permission to anything.
Right.
Which is not also love. Sometimes love, like my pastor used to give us illustration, like if somebody's, a trainer's coming, and if I push somebody, they might think I'm offensive.
Mm.
But if I tell them a car's coming and would have knocked you, I pushed you out of the way.
Yeah.
So I pushed you because I love you.
Because
something was coming.
Yeah.
So sometimes love approaches as tough or harsh. But as long as we check our motives, I'm doing it out of love for the person.
Yes.
And sometimes you have to set boundaries. You have to put things in place to make the person understand, I love you, but what you're doing is not okay.
Yes.
You know, so I think, like, once again, seek counsel. If you are connected to a spiritual leader, from your spiritual leader, if you don't have one, feel free to pop us a message with the number that I did give, and then we can see how we're able to journey forward and see how we can come alongside you as well.
Okay. So, Brother MD, I am sending you a message right now as we speak. How can I not multitask now? But I'm typing and I'm sending you the message, so it's in your inbox. Please do, please do check that out. We love you, Pastor Nathan, from the Browns. That's sweet.
Yes, the Brownie Bunch. Come on now.
Praise God. We saw the messages. We saw the requests for prayer. And so we will continue to pray. We're both reading these WhatsApp messages. And so we will continue in prayer. All right? Eleanor, thank you so much. Eleanor is one of my buddies, one of my friends from school, and she's asked how she can get a recording of that program. So I will also just give you that information later on. But do call CSFM during office hours on 021-788-9492. I hope that you're still listening because that message came in at 22 minutes past 7, Eleanor. But do call CSFM during office hours, 021-788-9492. I'm going to say good night.